knock on our door.
Come knock on our door.
We've been waiting for you.
We've been waiting for you.
Where the kisses are hers and hers and his. Three's company too. Come and dance on our floor.
Come and dance on our floor.
Thank you for knocking on our door and welcome to the Regal Beagle Podcast, a podcast dedicated to the much-loved television sitcom Three's Company. Here we review and discuss each and every Three's Company episode, covering all 8 seasons in chronological order. My name is Danko Jones, and joining me today is my good friend Melissa Grant. Melissa, how are you doing today?
I'm great. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so happy you're here to talk about Three's Company.
Mm-hmm.
Not nothing else. Glad you're here. We finished dinner.
Yeah.
Regal Beagle dinner.
I think the food must have been better than the food they're eating at the Regal Beagle.
Oh, I'm almost certain. Yes, absolutely.
You didn't serve me a tuna sandwich.
No, exactly. That's what they order there too, right?
Yep.
Okay, so before we start, what's your relationship with Three's Company? Are you a big fan of it?
Yeah, so for me, I grew up on Three's Company. It's the show that I remember watching the most, obsessively. And I am the youngest of 3 kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I have an older brother and older sister. So, So it came to me naturally that I would follow what they're watching, which is Three's Company.
Right,
so,
right. Yeah. Well, you know, I gotta hand it to your older brother and older sister. They got good taste.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you know. So it was one of those things where I don't remember when I really started watching it, except I was really young and I, you know, young, impressionable. I thought it was like the funniest thing and I loved it and I never missed an episode and I've seen them all a million times and, you know, it was like an institution.
Right. And
warm and fuzzy memories.
That's why the Regal Beagle podcast exists. So let's get into it.
Yes.
Season 3. Episode 13, Eleanor's Return. It aired December 12th, 1978, directed by Dave Powers, written by Roger Shulman and John Baskin. Eleanor, the girl's old roommate, comes back to visit, making Jack feel left out. Larry and Jack decide to sabotage the girl's party, not knowing it's actually a surprise party for Jack. Melissa, what did you think of Eleanor's Return?
So, I haven't seen this episode. You know, I see the title of it, and I'm like, oh, Eleanor's Return. But as soon as I start watching it, I'm like, I remember this one. So it's a good episode. It encompasses all the follies and, you know, the typical Three's Company kind of storyline.
Total misunderstanding there.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Which was like the core, I feel like every episode, you know, that the core thing was always like, that the typical confused storyline, right? Like, I feel like that was like the quintessential Three's Company way of writing a show. Was
right.
That, yeah.
Right.
It was their formula.
The whole episode kind of relied on Eleanor not telling Jack that she wasn't going to move in.
Yeah. Like
right?
It was always, like, there's this vagueness, right?
Yeah.
So it just set Jack up to be, you know, sort of like the fourth wheel, as
right.
you will. But along with that, obviously, is that, you know, the episode opens, you know, you get Jack being his typical sort of like, you know, you get the physical comedy.
Right. Yeah.
And the thing that made me laugh when I watched it the second time, so I didn't notice it so much the first time, but the second time that I wanted to bring up was she's like, you know, she says his name and he's like, you know my name? Like, it just makes me laugh because he would always do that. So I, as an aside, John Ritter for me was like my first crush for sure.
That's huge.
Yeah, he definitely was my first recognized crush as a child. I mean, I wasn't watching that show when it came out in 1978 because I was only 2.5 years old or
right,
whatever.
Right.
But once the show went into syndication, you know, I was watching when I was 5, 6 years old.
Right.
And he was my first crush.
So you could maybe make the argument that Jack Tripper was the foundation.
Oh, for sure. That was why
boys.
Yeah, totally. That was like my That's a very good point. And mostly why I watched the show. And then the older I got, the more I understood things. And mm-hmm. But I loved him. So picking up on that, his little, like his affectations, and that just made me laugh. And it, again, it's the warm and fuzzies. It's like porting me back to a time where I watched that show and like nothing else mattered. I just loved it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's that, again, it's a good episode, but it's that typical confused storyline. That's the formula. And you're exactly right. Like Eleanor's just not, the way they've written it, she's just not giving enough away to ease his anxiety and to make him feel that he's not getting turfed.
Yeah. This episode could have ended, you know, 5 minutes into the story.
But when couldn't they all?
Yeah, basically all of them. I mean, of course.
Yeah, but wouldn't be sitting here talking about it.
Yeah, exactly. And Larry wouldn't have streaked.
Well, that was...
At the end, Larry goes naked.
So wonderful. Like,
and that was a
Larry.
Thing in the 70s.
The streak, yeah. Yeah. That was big.
People would streak.
Didn't someone
public.
Streak the Oscars? I think somebody...
maybe.
Yeah, there was a streaker in the Oscars.
I just remember I went to
a song called
my
the
first hockey game with my dad at Maple Leaf Gardens, and there was a streaker
no
on the
way.
Ice. Stopped the whole game.
That's so vintage.
It was crazy.
Imagine someone tried to do that.
And, you know, I was a little kid, and I go, "What? That guy's got another head of hair." And this is the 70s, right? So... Like this guy
was no manscaping.
No manscaping. So
traumatized.
That was pretty. I remember that too. And a guy that built the way he was built, if I remember correctly, shouldn't have taken off his underwear.
No,
because it was just all wig.
Ooh, that's not good. Pale wig.
Although we didn't have the greatest seats, so I mean. I could be wrong.
That's probably a good thing you didn't have better seats. But yeah, it had the good Larry. And it just, you know, the sexism is so strong.
Oh, yeah.
And the Larry's always on the make. But here's the thing. Larry's always on the make. Jack's always on the make, too. But Jack has this sort of more innocence about him and cuteness about him.
Well, I was going to say he's an attractive man, so people overlook that, right?
Yeah. Actually, you know, but Richard Klein's not looking that bad these days if you've seen him nowadays. He's actually aged quite nicely.
He has.
And he's looking less like the used car salesman, Larry Dalyopoulos.
I got to say, that's a great point to bring up.
And he's looking pretty good.
He is looking great, like
better.
A silver fox.
Totally.
Yeah.
His hair, he's got all his hair. Yeah. He's looking good. But yeah, he didn't really turn out the way you would think Larry would as an old guy.
Like, yeah, Larry, the way Larry looked on some of those episodes was pretty,
disco.
Maybe it's just the time.
I guess it was.
Maybe back then they cast him because he was a good looking guy.
But like, I never thought Larry was good looking.
Really? You didn't think that?
No, but now I would look at the actor who played
the Silver Fox,
yeah,
Larry.
Richard Klein.
Richard Klein,
like, you know, I'd be like, hey, he's looking pretty good.
Yeah, he is.
You know, but yeah, back in the day watching that show, Larry was just like, and you have Jack and Larry who are friends, and I don't know, how old were they supposed to be in the show, like 28?
In their early, mid-20s?
Like, that's crazy to me. They just look like old 40-year-old men. Like, you know, that's the...
They do, and I that's something I can't... Because I watched them when they were way older than me already, right?
But that gets burned in your brain, right? So you always have that, you know, you're older than they were at watching these shows now. You're older than they were when they were filming
and
these shows.
And they still seem older than
they're
me.
They're just like old.
It's weird.
Old dudes.
Yeah.
Bell bottoms on. It's weird. It's always on the make. But then it's the difference between, like, you know, there's so much overreacting on the show too. Not so much overacting, but overreacting. But again, that's part of the formula of the storyline.
Yeah. And Eleanor Garvey, who became Eleanor Phillips because she married Teddy Phillips and moved out of the house.
She did, yeah.
Was played by Marianne Black. And this was her only appearance as Eleanor. Eleanor never came back to the series.
I don't recall her coming back.
She never returned. After this party with Jack... She said bye to the girls forever, pretty much.
Well, because Larry streaked.
Yeah.
That's why. She saw the too much hair down there, and she was like, I'm out of here.
I'm out of here. I'm going back to Teddy.
Yeah.
He manscapes. But here's the thing. The only thing she ever really ended up doing after this appearance on Three's Company, acting-wise, was she was an accompanying aerobics dancer to the Jane Fonda workout tapes.
Well, she had the right hair for it, so she just slid right in from that role into the...
Yeah. She's side by side doing aerobics with Jane Fonda on those home tapes.
Could you imagine?
Yeah, that was her...
What an honor.
Claim, that was her claim. Like, that. I don't know if it's a claim to any fame, but...
It would have been back then.
They're on DVD now, so...
If I gotta check that out.
Yeah, I kind of want to... get it now.
Yeah.
Just to see Eleanor.
I wonder where she would fit in on the list of like former Three's Company guest stars or bit part players, like in the list of where they ended up in their career.
Well, I kind of think Eleanor is a huge character in the Three's Company series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because she
paved the way
for Jack to move in. Like she's a big deal. But there's, there's, I can't even give it away. Who's already been I can't even give it away. The best supporting characters and guest stars are still have yet to come.
Yes, and we know who some of those people are. I mean, I can't bring it up.
Amazing. You know, Cameron doesn't know. Yeah.
Oh, he doesn't.
No, he doesn't know. Okay.
Cause that's funny because I was thinking about this as well, is that some of those people that you're talking about who have gone on to have careers and things like that, that's how I knew who they were.
Yeah,
so once
here.
I started seeing them in other things, getting older and saying, oh, yeah, there's the guy. Oh, I'll always remember him as, or always remember her as, you know.
Absolutely.
Three's Company.
No, it's true. Yeah, I really
want
to say.
Whereas I never knew who, you know, for me, someone like Don Knotts or Norman Fell, like I never saw their shows. I knew them as people on Three's Company where they had a career way before... That show
Mayberry,
ever.
Right.
The Andy Griffith show. It was on the Andy Griffith show. Yeah. Like, I didn't watch that show. I saw it in reruns way later.
Same here.
Even after Three's Company.
And then you would go, hey, that's Mr. Furley in a sheriff's hat or whatever. Yeah. Yeah. Same
here.
What
was Norman Fell in? I can't remember the name of that show.
And
he and John Ritter were actually on a show together.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, they were. And I should have written this down and I don't remember.
I should do some more homework on that. There is a theory about Three's Company, that a past guest, Jeremy Taggart, I believe, presented, which was originally Three's Company, even though it was based on Man About the House, mm-hmm. having Norman Fell, the theory is Mr. Roper was part of the original Ocean's 11, and that was a spinoff.
Was he in that movie?
Yeah, he took the money, bought the building, and he was the
amazing
character. Now, I don't know if
that's
it's just
cool,
a theory.
Though.
Yeah.
I like it.
There's
though.
Another theory about Larry.
Is that why he's sewing all of his money in his mattress?
Kind of, right? Yeah, kind
of. Because he's super cheap.
Yeah, and he's super paranoid, too.
Very paranoid.
The theory about Larry never scoring with women, and it was all, an image.
Yeah.
There's that
because
theory as well.
He was the one who was really hiding his reality. I don't know.
Yeah, he wasn't really that much of a ladies' man.
No. I don't think, you know what, it's funny. I think that that's something that has crossed my mind watching. Like, Larry was always striking out.
But I will say in this episode, they cut to Larry talking to a girl, and he's got his black book where he rates all his dates, and she's five stars.
Oh, okay. Well,
remember, he's on the phone going, you're five stars.
Yeah, right.
So maybe he has, I don't know. It's just a theory, right?
I can only dream of being five stars in someone's black book.
Yeah,
but exactly. Those days are gone. Actually, they're not really.
Not really.
They're just different now.
It's likes and they're still the stars.
Yeah.
They're still there.
Yeah. Swipe right.
Yeah.
Swipe left.
It's on your smartphone though.
Yeah.
So anyways, this brings Eleanor's return to an end. And Melissa, come back next week. Knock on our door. We are going to wait for you until next week.
Okay.
Just
stay right here.
Yeah.
Don't move.
Just stay right there. Don't move for seven days. Okay. We'll see you next week.
Okay.